Yes, okay. Beautiful singing indeed. And I love that song. You probably already know all the story behind the song, and you probably do too, Keith. But when Horatio Spafford, who was a businessman, if I've got my memory right, which is only generally trusted about three quarters of the time, but when Horatio Spafford found out that his part of his family had died suddenly in a shipwreck on the way to England, he boarded the next ship, and when they got to the spot where the ship was wrecked, he asked the captain to tell him when they hit that spot. And they got to that spot, and right on that spot, he wrote those words, it is well with my soul. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever it is well. You have to have spiritual eyes to see that. I have always had issues with vision all of my life. In second grade, in my first year of second grade, in my first year of second grade, I could not see the board, which prompted a second year of second grade, it's always been an issue, and I'll never forget putting glasses on for the first time in my life. All of a sudden, everything looked different, way different. I could see things in a different way. I still have trouble with sight, though. It is different now since my eyes were partially fixed. All of a sudden, instead of can't see far away, I can't see close up. But far away, you look beautiful. I put these close-up things on, and I can see close up, but it's more beautiful without them. Anybody, can you relate to what I'm saying? But, you know, I have had trouble with sight all of my life. I've had trouble with sight, and it has gotten me into trouble at times. There was an occasion a number of years ago when I was getting ready to leave for a funeral. I had my suit on. I am good to go. Message written and all of it, and I start to leave, and I cannot find my car keys. And I looked, and I looked, and I got a little more panicky as the time went on. Anybody ever done that? I got to go. I can't be late to a funeral, you know. And so I called my wife, who was at work at the time, and she dashed home to help me find my car keys. And she, in fact, found them underneath the phone directory I had used to get the number out to call her. Thank you, Jim. Thank you. But I still have trouble sometimes with vision and sight. I'm sitting in my office the other day, and looking down upon me was this cat. In fact, there were two cats, and I don't know which one of you cat lovers left them there, but I thought to myself, how long have I been stalked and didn't even know it? You know, I don't know why someone would get me cats. I really don't know, Marty, why they would. he keeps saying it's not him, but I'm. Oh, to keep the mice away or the preacher away. However you look at that. But vision has always been a problem. Can you see? Can you see? Just what is it you do see, and how many sets of eyes are there really? Marcel Proust, French writer, says the real voyage of discovery consists not in seeing new lands, but in seeing with new eyes. Do you have new eyes? Can you see? Zacharias Jensen, anybody know who that is? He is supposedly the inventor of the microscope. Because of him, way back in 1590s, because of him, suddenly we could see things in the body in ways we hadn't before. At the cellular level, we could see how things worked and what didn't work. And the cells were different than what you would see just with your normal eye. But the invention brought new possibilities because it revealed previously unseen realities. And all the microscope did was just allow us to see what was already there. Now, maybe you haven't heard of Zachariah Jensen because he was somewhat of a rascal from what I understand, and there's some debate as to whether he actually invented the microscope or stole the invention. Not clear. But that's history, isn't it? You know, today is a day that I hope you see not just with your physical eyes, but with your spiritual eyes too. We need vision, and sometimes I don't have vision very much. My wife, she's got vision. She can perceive things. She can figure out something and design it in her brain and see exactly what it will look like, and she'll tell me about it, and I'll say stuff like, "What are you thinking?" And, "Lord, what did you get me into here?" You know. And are any of you like that? You can't see what's ahead. You can't envision it in your mind with physical things and design and all that stuff. And it's hard to imagine what the house you are designing will look like one day. It's just hard to even see it. And Thomas Merton said, "Those who live by only by what they can see live a life in deep despair." Deep despair if you live only by what you can see. What I want you to know is seeing is an enormous issue in the Bible. It is an enormous issue. We are told about a time in Mark 10, Jesus enters Jericho, and the disciples had just been arguing about who was the greatest, and they were missing everything around them that mattered. And alongside the road is this guy named Bartimaeus who cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." And Bartimaeus asked the same question he had asked the disciples a while ago. "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do?" And Bartimaeus, "Have mercy on me. I want to see." And immediately he received sight and followed along the road. It's interesting, the disciples had been with Jesus for 2 years and still had not received spiritual sight, didn't completely understand who Jesus was, and they were always being confused, but Bartimaeus, this guy who only meets Jesus, immediately begins to follow him along the road. Isn't it interesting? I would be like the disciples. And blindness is just this powerful metaphor in Scripture. It is this huge picture all through the Bible, actually. In the book of Isaiah, you read some really interesting words in Isaiah 42. Isaiah says this. He's talking about the Messiah, and the Messiah is there to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, to release from the dungeons those who sit in darkness. Whether you are a captive in prison, whether you are in a dungeon of darkness, it's all about your spiritual eyes, and blindness is all about what it's always been in the Bible. So Jesus had said to the disciples earlier, "Do you have eyes but fail to see? Do you have ears but fail to hear? Do you still not understand?" And Bartimaeus was healed of his blindness, and he joined Jesus along the way. And the disciples, they just didn't get it. I'm sort of like them sometimes. I don't perceive what is ahead. One of our illustrious and awesome church members, who is actually with us in this service right now, did some work next door a few weeks back, and said, "You know, I believe I'm preparing something for something that's going to be great in the future. I might not see it, but I am preparing for what is ahead." And it was interesting to me when I was in Israel, because I saw Mount Nebo, from the plains of Moab, and I saw it, and Nebo is here, and Jericho's here, and the Dead Sea is here, and our guide is saying, that's Mount Nebo over there. It's really in Jordanian territory today, but that was the very mountain that Moses climbed toward the end of his life, and he looked out, and he could see this promised land. And what was interesting is our guide said to us in no uncertain terms that it was supposed to be a land of milk and honey. But if you looked at the place, there wasn't a whole lot either. It was desert, but he could see with eyes that are different than just earthly eyes. He could look out and see what was ahead. And as our bus drove through the place, I have never seen so much land used for growing food in my life. Everywhere you looked, an orange tree, a lemon tree, an olive tree. Everywhere you looked, and the lemons were just, it was just incredible. Every bit of the land used, it seems like. And Moses could see this land he would never get to. Sometimes we see there are things ahead that are awesome, but we might never see them with our own eyes. How sad it is, I have known parents who died in old age before their children came to Christ. And I hope they could see. I hope they could see because their kids finally got there, you know. I can see something that it might not be there yet, but it will be there. It is well with my soul. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, he says of life, he says, we are perplexed. We are hard-pressed, we are persecuted, we are abandoned, we are struck down, but we are not destroyed. We are not destroyed. We are struck down, but not destroyed. And you say, and how is that the case? And the Apostle Paul says a few verses later, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. And later in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, he prays that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened, will be open in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Today we're trying to shift from seen to unseen. There is an unseen world all around us that we don't notice most of the time. Sometimes when I'm with people who are quite spiritually in tune and they're aware of what's going on around us, when I'm with those kind of folks, I sometimes feel like I'm just completely spiritually blind. But we live in a world, we don't see everything. There's spiritual warfare waging around us. There's all kinds of things going on. And it's sort of just beyond our vision, and we don't get it. But a couple things I want you to know as we try to shift from seen to unseen is that God has given us two sets of eyes. One on our face to see what's happening in the visible world, the other in our hearts to see what's happening in the invisible world. Opening the other eyes never changes anything in the visible world, but it reveals completely a different set of realities that we can teach in the visible world. It's like looking through a microscope, suddenly seeing cells. We didn't see it before, God. We didn't see it. We didn't see it. I love the story of Elisha, and actually the story was repeated in the book Soul Shift this week. It's the story of one day he is being chased down, and he is he's running really from the king, and the king gets close to him, and in the middle of the king getting close to him, he suddenly the king of Aram is on him. In the middle of all that, it became night and everybody went to sleep, and they woke up in the morning and there was fog everywhere. Somebody told me about fog this morning they were living with over the winter, but But he wakes up and there's fog everywhere, and one of his people decides to take a walk, and they walk in the fog, and they get back to the camp, and they look, and there's eyes staring at them as the fog has lifted. The enemy has surrounded them. The armies, there are horses and chariots, and it's a strong force of King Aram, and this is in 2 Kings 6. And as they slept, they were surrounded, and the servant panicked, and he reported to Elisha. And Elisha didn't panic. He just told the servant, this is interesting, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And he's seeing scores and scores of people surrounding a small little group of people. And yet Elisha sees something more. Fear is our natural response when we see what the servant saw. You know, we're hemmed in, out of options. The enemy, the enemy has surrounded us. Fear calculates our chances. You know, the money is running out. fear sees red flags or white flags. It surrenders. You know, we have this medical problem, and there are certain words that are just best unsaid, like cancer. There's a word I don't like very well, you know. But fear is our natural response to words like that. The company's making cutbacks, the project is out of money, and they rattle us. And we are afraid. Now, some people escape through positive thinking. Seeing spiritually is not really just positive thinking. It is seeing some truth that others can't see. So Elijah prays a strange prayer. Elijah prays, O Lord, open his eyes that he might see. Open his eyes that he might see. See, because he couldn't see. And outside of Dothan, where they're at, these two realities face each other. Faith sees the enemy surrounding us, but it also sees God surrounding our enemy. And it doesn't speak things into existence. It simply calls out what is really there, what is unseen by those who live by sight alone. Those whom are with us are far more than those who are with them. Paul says later in Romans, he says, people of faith call things that are not as though they were. I suspect there were some visionary people who one day, about 20 years ago, were walking around our community and walked onto this piece of land and checked it out and just envisioned, I could see a church. I could see our church on this land. Were any of you in that group? Any of you back? It's already, already 20 years, it's already history. Only a couple of you here that did that. But you could see what others couldn't see. I read the other day, maybe we should begin to doubt our doubts. Doubt our doubts. I like that. What if we did that? Someone said God's reality in our world is like gently falling rain. We each have a bowl. We each have a bowl in our minds and our hearts, and we can easily catch God's reality if we just hold the bowl before us. But it makes a difference. All the difference, in fact, in the world if our bowl is turned upside down or right side up. We each have a bowl. We can collect God's rain or we can just close it up. We can collect God's presence. Second thing I want you to put down is when you are healed of your blindness, you still need to take in that healing. You need to take in that healing. But how do we do it? We do it on a daily basis. We do it by pausing briefly and looking for God's presence in our current activity. Where is God's presence in what you're doing right now? Where is God's presence with you this very second, you know? I tell you where God's presence is. It's sitting beside you, sitting behind you, sitting in front of you, sitting with you, holding you. That's where God's presence is. But and when we're healed of our blindness, we see that. It helps us if we seek out other people that we can talk about God's invisible presence with. It really does. There are people who get it and there are people who don't. Sometimes you got to hang out with those who get it because we need the spiritual support, don't we? You know, it helps us. When you're healed of your blindness, you need to take in the healing. Maybe you need to read Matthew chapter 5 to 7, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, because it describes this unseen world beautifully. Maybe you need to pray before every meeting, every service, everything you do, every appointment of your week. Jesus, Son of David, I want to see. Jesus, Son of David, I want to see. Why don't you say that with me? Jesus, Son of David, I want to see. Jesus, Son of David, I want to see. I want to see. I want to see. It's what I long for greater than most anything else. I really do want to see what's there. We need to pray just like Bartimaeus. I want to see. I've almost got to see. And the implications of our blindness being healed is we suddenly begin to shift our values. Sometimes I see this occur at funerals. People begin to shift their values. I guess they say it's pretty evident life is risky, it is short, it is precarious. Maybe we should love everybody around us instead of being mad. Maybe we should get over it. You know, I see that sometimes at funerals. It shifts our values. We begin to realize people are important, more important than stuff. Stuff is nice, but people are more important. And experiences even matter more than stuff. And right next to our heads is a word is a world where the poor in spirit, they own the kingdom of God. And the meek inherit the earth. The other thing that happens when we are healed of blindness is we discover that we are never, never alone. Like the disciples walking on the road to Emmaus, you probably know this story. Jesus is walking with them and they don't have a clue it's Jesus. And all of a sudden their eyes were open to their blindness and they their heart was warmed. And all of a sudden, bang, he was there. We discover we are not alone. A reporter asked writer and theologian G.K. Chesterton once, if the risen Christ, the reporter said, suddenly appeared at this very moment and stood behind you, what would you do? And Chesterton answered simply, he did appear. He is here, right before us, right behind us. What would you do? Well, he's here, you know. We ought to live as if he is here right now. I mean, with us right now, because he is. Application of moving from seen to unseen is we need to pray that prayer, Jesus, Son of David. We need to pray that prayer on a regular basis out loud in a way that we will understand. We need to pray. We need to pray the prayer so that we can see, like Moses did. I see a promised land out there. It's a stinking desert. I see a promised land. I see hope out there. I see the University of Michigan Wolverines beating the Spartans today. Promise out there. My vision is different than yours, apparently. But honestly, we need to pray that God will open our eyes. I heard a story some years ago I want to share with you. It's about this young fellow who desired holiness, and he went out into the desert and he found this old spiritual guy in a little tent, and he went out to ask him for advice. And the man was sitting in his doorway, and the man's dog stretched out in front of him, just laid out, not moving, only as only a dog can do. And the spiritual seeker presented his problem to the holy man. He said simply, "Why is it, Abba, that some who seek God come to the desert and are zealous in prayer, but leave after a year or so, while others like you remain faithful to the quest for a lifetime?" And the old man replied and simply said, "Let me tell you a story." And here was the story. He said, "One day I was sitting here quietly in the sun with my dog, and suddenly a large white rabbit ran across in front of us. Well," he says, "my dog jumped and he barked and he chased that rabbit loudly. And what a sight it was. Pretty soon, it wasn't just my dog. There were a pack of dogs chasing and barking and going through the thickets and the thorns. And it was amazing." And then the old man said simply, "Gradually, one by one, however, the dogs dropped out of their pursuit, discouraged by the course and frustrated by the chase. Only my dog continued to hotly pursue the white rabbit." And then he said, "In the story, young man, is the answer to your question." And the young man sat in confused silence, and finally he said, "Abba, I don't understand. What is the connection between the rabbit chase and the quest for holiness?" And the old man simply said, "You fail to understand because you failed to ask the obvious question. Why didn't the other dogs continue the chase?" And the answer to that question is, they had not seen the rabbit. They simply chased the dogs in front of them. I think that happens all the time today, don't you? Why is it people quit? They had never really seen that with which they are looking for. Lord, I want to see. Help me to see. Help all of us to see. God's got great things in your future and mine. I had a woman in my church once. Her husband was a pastor, and she was holder of the conference cane. Actually, she lived in a nursing home. Her husband had died many, many years back. The conference cane, the holder of that was the oldest clergy or clergy spouse alive in the state of Michigan, and she was holder of the conference cane, and she got to speak before conference when I was first at that church, and you know what she said as she's holding her cane, the oldest person, she said simply, "The best is yet to come." Lord, I want to see. Why don't we bow our heads and pray? Father, I just ask that you would give us sight. God, we are blind to so many things. Lord, I want to see. Help me to see through the eyes of my heart. Help me to see through spiritual eyes what you see. Help me to see folks who are hurting. Help me see folks who are hungry for you. Help me to see what others do not see. And with that vision, God, help me to respond accordingly. And I ask you, God, to help each person in here to see what you want them to see. Some of us, oh God, have been walking around in a fog. When you got all kinds of things going on around us, help us to see. God, we simply turn our hearts over to you. We simply turn them over to you. Help us to see whether we've never done that before or we've done it 1,000 times. Help us to see. In Jesus' name, amen.